Welcome to worship once again, and a special welcome if you're with us for the first time. My name is Lynn, and I'm the minister here at Adelaide West. This week we've watched horrors once again in our world. The explosion in Beirut is catastrophic. It shook all of Lebanon. The tremors were felt in Cyprus, some 240 kilometres away. Everything within a 10-kilometre radius was damaged: houses, buildings, shops, cars. And following this chemical explosion was toxic pollution of the air. Churches, mosques, schools, hospitals, homes and shops were all destroyed, and the affected area is home to almost 1 million people. We have over 135 people killed and over 5,000 people injured, and that's without the people there still yet to be found. I had lunch with Levin Kardashian at the Hilton Hotel here up the road just earlier this year. He's the secretary of the Uniting Church's Middle East National Conference, and he was born, grew up, and lived most of his life about 1.5 kilometres away from the location of the explosion. His church, school, the street he used to play on are all destroyed. Each week we light a candle, and today we light this candle. Here and in our homes for Lebanon. We do so remembering that Christ is hope amongst destruction, brings love where there is fear, and comfort for the lost and the grieving. Our candles unite us together with people across the world as we pray for the people of Lebanon. And so we pray together now, a prayer based on a prayer written by Levin for the situation in Beirut. Let's pray. God of darkness and light, Beirut waits in darkness, longing for your light. In the centre of darkness, rekindle hope. We pray for your healing where there is injury, comfort where there is death, hope where there is despair, light where there is darkness, and joy where there is sadness. And we pray for your love where there is hatred. Loving God, in the face of incomprehensible anguish and sorrow, in the suffering from the destruction of the explosion and the ensuing chemical pollution, we pray for protection and wisdom to emergency service personnel, doctors, nurses, hospitals, and all those who assist in alleviating the pain and suffering of those affected. Encourage our generosity to those who suffer loss. In your mercy, restore your creation and heal our land. We pray for those who have been injured in body, mind, or spirit, and ask you to heal them. Grant us all firm resolve to stand with our neighbours who are in need, to love them and to offer our generous support of them in this, their time of trouble. And we pray this together in the name of Jesus. Amen. Uniting World is launching an appeal for Lebanon. We're waiting on details for this, but we're happy to pass on any donations to that. We worship together. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on your side.
Thank you. Today's reading comes from Matthew 14, 22 to 33. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Storms. How do you go in storms? Do you put your head in the sand and wait for it to pass? Or do you face the storm, shaking your fist? Do you chase the storm, dissect the storm? Think of a time when you were in a storm. Perhaps it was dark. It was unexpected. One moment you're feeling safe, life is well, it's doable. And the next minute it's unsafe and it's scary. You know, a storm can be physical or emotional or psychological or even metaphorical. It could be losing someone you love, a cancer diagnosis, a relationship breakdown, work issues. It was dark. Between 3 and 6 in the morning, and the disciples were in the boat, and they were there because Jesus had insisted they get in the boat. He made them go into it and go on ahead to the other side. And now here they are being tossed about in the waves, battered by the waves, the wind against them. A storm had whipped up. I wonder what they were thinking. They just witnessed the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And I imagine them still talking about it as they set sail. Did you see there were 12 baskets of food left over? 12! And to think he asked us to feed them. And now they're in this storm. Perhaps the 12 baskets are forgotten. Or at least overshadowed by the waves and the wind, the water coming into the boat, the everything. But look, there's this figure coming towards them. It's dark. They can't quite make it out. It looks like a man, but it couldn't be a man. They're wet and cold, and now the fear rises. And as the figure comes closer, they call out to each other, "It's a ghost!" They're terrified. What's going to happen to them now? They don't know the end of the story like we do. They're stuck in their terror, stuck in the moment. But Jesus speaks to them immediately. "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Take courage." Imagine the relief in that moment. The fear and the terror dropping. The heart rate returning to normal. "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." I don't know about you, but I need to hear these words. 2020 has been a year of storms, bushfires and floods and a worldwide pandemic. Environmental challenges have led to economic and emotional challenges, You know, many of us feel like we're caught up in a storm, buffeted and battered by forces beyond our control. Just as the disciples couldn't have imagined the storm on the sea as they were getting into the boat, none of us imagine the storms of 2020. You know, when we were wishing each other Happy New Year, shaking our heads at the time in disbelief at the work of the fires, none of us envisaged a year like this year. One issue has led to the next. We even have different language than 5 months ago. Words like isolation and physical distancing and density ratios for people in buildings, clusters, contact tracing, medi-hotels. And then there's the hand sanitizer. It might keep the bugs away, but it makes our hands dry and even our food starts to taste of it. And so we take comfort in the picture of Jesus walking across the storm, telling us, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. You know, after Jesus had facilitated the feeding of the multitudes using a bit of bread and a small amount of fish, he really needed some alone time. And so he sent the disciples away in a boat to go to the other side, and he spent time alone, spent time in prayer. We imagine he finally gets a moment to grieve the death of John the Baptist, which we read about in the previous chapter, the death of a cousin in a gruesome manner. Could be a storm for Jesus. You know, Jesus did this often, time alone, up a mountain, time in prayer. Perhaps there are times we need this time alone, time with God, time in prayer. Perhaps there's a self-care here that we need to listen to remember self-care in the storms of life, in the busyness of everyday life. If Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God, needed it, then I certainly do. And then there's Peter in the story. In fact, I've often heard this story with the focus on Peter. Peter without enough faith, Peter stumbling and sinking. Peter asks Jesus to call him out of the boat, which Jesus does. And famously, Peter takes a few steps before coming all too aware of the wind and the waves and begins to sink. Crying out for help, Jesus rescues him and deposits Peter back in the boat, wondering why Peter had this weakness in his otherwise strong faith. What do we do about the bit about Peter? Poor Peter. Exactly where did Peter get it wrong? What if he gets it wrong with what he thinks he's doing? Perhaps he's thinking he's doing a test. He thinks he's fixing things, but he sinks. Jesus is actually doing something far greater, far wider than just walking on water. Peter asked Jesus to take him out of his comfort zone, but Peter took his eyes off Jesus and becomes fearful. Fear can undermine the courage to living into one's ministry or calling. You know, biblical scholars understand Matthew's story as a word of encouragement for the early church. It's written many years after Jesus' death, and the hearers would have recognized the theme. So Jesus sends the disciples out into the waters of the world without him. After all the teaching, miracles, healings, the inspired proclamation of the reign of God, Jesus is no longer with him or with them. He has sent them, commissioned them, but he's stayed back. The church, the disciples in the boat are out at sea alone, and the boat is a symbol of the early church. And this story is an encouragement that Jesus has not abandoned them. He walks into the storm to be with them. And he echoes the words of God to Moses in the Old Testament. Take courage, he says. It is I. Don't be afraid. For the early church, there had just been a massive storm, the destruction of the temple and the dissolution of Jerusalem in 70 AD. There'd also been a storm in the text itself, the massive storm of the death of John the Baptist. Matthew is encouraging this frightened church. It's going to be okay. Jesus is with us. Be not afraid. God who loves us calms the storm. And perhaps Jesus' response to Peter wasn't a rebuke. Perhaps it was more like a parent to a child. Why did you doubt? You of little faith, you had it. You did it. You were doing it. Either way, Jesus meets Peter's panic with an outstretched arm and the gentle encouragement of a loving parent. They get back into the boat and the wind ceases and the storm stops. The boat, the church, once being tossed around in the wind, is now safe. Jesus comes to us in times of stormy weather, speaking, comforting, and getting into the boat with his followers. The part of Peter reminds us that we need to take our focus off ourselves. When we take our focus off Jesus, when all we notice is the waves, we begin to sink. Jesus is always there to rescue us. He may wonder what had happened to our faith. He may ask us, why did you doubt? You had this. We can step out of our comfort zone. And when we do, we need to keep our focus on Jesus, who is always there for us, even in the storms. Jesus walked on the sea. The sea represents some sort of spiritual force, and Jesus walks all over it. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. The message lives on. The opposite of love is not hate, but fear. And if we're in the boat, Jesus comes and stills the storm. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, even the waves and the sea don't overcome us. And as we are together, we maintain that faith together. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. The divinity of Jesus is recognized here. Jesus is the Lord of the water and waves. Jesus saves Peter from sinking and calms the seas. We too are in the boat with the disciples. We seek to be faithful followers. We strive to live the gospel. We give ourselves to love and good works. And sometimes we encounter storms. It could be personal or as a family or in the church. God gives us a family around us. Sometimes the storm batters us, but Jesus is at the center of the storm. No matter how thrashing the waves, how ferocious the winds, Jesus walks through them and he meets us, even if we are cowering in the cabin below the deck. Take heart, he says. It is I. I am with you. Don't be afraid. And then the boat, the church, can go on its destination, can search for it, continue the journey led by the power of Holy Spirit, knowing that we don't need to be afraid. Let's pray together. Loving God, you do call us out upon the waters, the great unknown, where our feet may fail. But we find you in the mystery. In oceans deep, our faith will stand. We thank you for those beautiful words. To not be afraid, because you are there in our midst. Lord Jesus, we're sorry for those times when we don't recognize you at work, when we don't see you in our lives, when all we see is the waves. We confess those things that we do that separate us from you and from others. All these things, our sins. We thank you that you forgive our sins through Jesus' death on the cross. Holy Spirit, lead us. to trust without borders, so that we can be in the boat that you call us to be in, and that there would even be times when we could walk upon the waters where you call us. We pray that our faith would be made stronger. We also pause to pray for our world. As we've remembered Beirut earlier, we also remember the other areas of our world that are in trauma at the moment. War, persecution, famine, storms. And we pray for your healing hand, for people to find homes, for food to be shared, for peace to reign. Lord Jesus, we pray for the COVID situation around the world, and we continue to pray for an end to this pandemic. And as we've seen over this past week with a cluster within such a short distance of this very church building, it brings it home to us. We pray for those who are isolating, for those who are working in hospitals, medical clinics, testing clinics. We pray for those who are struggling with COVID-19, who have caught this illness. We pray for those who have lost loved ones or not able to be with loved ones in hospital. Lord, we give this situation to you. And Holy Spirit, we bring those people to you that are on our hearts at the moment. People with sickness, grieving, hurting, confused, fearful. We lift them to you and pray for your healing hand, that they would hear the words, "Don't be afraid," and for your love to surround them at this time. For the prayers that we offered aloud and those in our hearts, as well as the prayers that are sent through the prayer button, we lift them to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
There I find you in the midst.
It's a joy to gather again in this way today. I hope you feel encouraged and hopeful. I encourage you to reach out and connect with others now or later today. We're created for connection. We continue to respond to God's grace with our own generosity, our gifts and offerings, and we pray that these gifts, including our lives, our time and our energy, would be used to share the good news of God's love, that Jesus is always with us. For Connect Groups, we'll put up some questions on the Facebook group for you. And prayer is always available. Ring or email, or if you're watching live, press the prayer button. We'd love to pray with you. We remember that we are called. We are called to get into the boat, to go to the other side. We remember to keep our eyes above the waves, to recognize the work of God around us. Take heart. Jesus is with us. Don't be afraid. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you and surround you each and every day in this coming week. Amen. Thank you for participating in this service this morning. Every blessing in your week ahead. Thank you.